Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Guys, we have a new tier on our Patreon, and it includes exclusive bonus content. Listen up. Right now, for just $5, you get the Honeydew a day early, you get it ad-free, and you get a full bonus episode of the Honeydew with Y'all where listeners highlight their lowlights, and it's going to stay that way. $5. And for just $3 more, you're also going to get the Way Back a day early and ad-free, but that's not all. You'll get exclusive bonus content with the guests, some fun segments, maybe some games, and we'd love to get you guys involved. And that's all for only $3 more. And there's no censorship on any of the Patreon episodes. Subscribe now.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in Nightpants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm starting this episode like I start them all. First of all, this is our first episode of the new year, so happy 2025 to everybody. And thank you. Thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for supporting anything I do. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're just telling someone about a show, buying a shirt, whatever it is. Thank you for your support. And if you got to have more, then you got to check out our Patreon. All right. The show over there is called The Honeydew with You All. It's this show with you all, and it is the wildest shit you're ever going to hear. It's worth every penny. It's $5 a month. We've never raised it. So if you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you're still on the fence, go watch the best of episodes that we release for free so you can get a taste of what the Honeydew is all about. Honeydew with Y'all is all about. And we have a new tier on the Patreon now where you get the Way Back a day early, you get it ad-free, censor-free, and you get exclusive bonus content over there. All right. So go check it out. That's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I am very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Nick Swartzen. Welcome back to the Honeydew, Nick Swartzen. Let him see it, bro. Close it up again and let him see it again.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me back, Ryan.
Dude, thank you for being back.
Yes, Swartzen. Good to be back.
You look good.
Thank you very much. Happy
you
New
look
Year.
Healthy. You look happy New Year to you. You look really fucking good, dude.
Thanks,
I'm happy
man.
For you.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about some stuff today, but before we do, please promote everything you'd like.
I quit. I have nothing to promote anymore.
Can you wait for that day though, where you're like, it's, I don't have
to. I swear to God, during COVID, I was like, I think I'm done. I was just like, I've done it for 30 years. How long have you been doing it now?
This 25, yeah. 26.
It's yeah. crazy when you do it that long. Yeah. You're just like, God, I can't wait to just go like, I don't know. But I love it so much.
Yeah,
so
I wouldn't know what else to do.
Yeah. Right. I mean, what, I'm not going to go to medical school or just.
Are you on the road right now?
Yeah.
Do you have dates?
Yeah, I toured my tour, Toilet Head. I've been doing all fall.
And where can they get tickets?
NickSwartzen.net. So I'm starting my 2025 leg. I got about a dozen theaters left and then picking up some clubs to fill some holes in that I missed. Houston, Texas. You know when cities get mad when you just, we like, you know, it's all routing. People don't know, like, you're just trying to like, okay, I'll do Dallas, blah, blah, blah. And like the venues sometimes aren't available. And then people get mad. So like Houston, St. Louis, I'm picking up a club in St. Louis and people like, they take a personal offense. It's not personal.
Like, why aren't you coming to St. Louis,
yeah,
Nick?
They're like, yeah. Hey, you know, what's up, dude?
Because the venue that I need isn't available when I can do it, and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you try to make it work.
You try to make it make sense.
It's like, yeah, I'll be there, North Korea, at some point.
North Korea.
At some point, I'll hit the Laugh Factory there. But, yeah, no, people get mad. Get death threats from North Korea. Jesus, they need to laugh. I get it, man. Fuck.
I wonder what that first set would be like. The first comic in North Korea. It's either going to be fantastic or the worst
gonna
go thing
south.
Ever.
Yeah. I think it's going to go south.
It's going to go South Korea, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, I'm touring until May, and then I'm hopefully going to be filming two movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Good job, bro.
Eat, Pray, Love 3. Yeah, we skip two and go right into 3. Yep.
So look, I know we preempt these and we talk about what we're going to talk about before often, but I'm interested to talk about this because you'd said your father passed away and it's something that you did want to talk about. So let's go back quickly because you're a Minnesota kid.
Yeah.
What does your dad do for a living? What was, you know, how, what was his job? What did he do?
My dad was Carrot Top. Yeah.
Carrot Top's still alive.
Sad. The Carrot Top now is not real. No, my dad was, he was like a businessman. He worked at kind of an ambiguous, this kind of company called Control Data. And it was very 9 to 5. And he wasn't happy. And I didn't really realize that until I got older. And he just didn't like the corporate world. And so he made bad business decisions, was miserable, went bankrupt. Not like we had a lot of money, but he went bankrupt. And then he wanted to be a writer, start writing, but it wasn't sustainable for our family. So my mom took me and my brother and sister were off at school. So she left him in the middle of the day. I remember I was 13. And
so your brother and sister are old enough that they're in college?
Yeah, they're in college. Okay. So I'm 13 and I come home. And my mom, there's furniture on the front lawn of our house. And I go, what's going on? And she goes, we're leaving. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, I'm leaving your dad. I got an apartment like a mile away. And I'm like, what?
This is being dropped on you right when you walk home from school?
And so, I mean, I knew things were bad, but I didn't realize it was like, peace out. So like my uncles and everything were helping us move. And so we just left my dad. He had to sell the house and he moved into a tiny apartment, but became a writer. And
did he become much happier?
Yeah, he was way happy.
So that's it's
interesting. Yeah, so it was cool. But
so he's just doing this job to take care of his family at first, and he's miserable. And
yeah, he just hated it. And then he became a writer, and he became really not successful in like being super lucrative. You know what I mean? But like he wrote for the City Pages in the Twin Cities of Minnesota.
So newspaper. That's what I want to ask you. What sort of writing is he doing?
Yeah, so he did like editorials, okay. And he did. He started gravitating towards exposing shit like his penis. No, I'm kidding. No, he started doing like undercover exposing stuff. So
he'd be like that. What's your dad's name?
Roger.
Ask Roger or whatever. Or Roger reports, and he'd go and you ever see those local ones? They do them here where they like expose a business for frauding this dude over here. And
yeah,
shit like
totally.
That. He's doing
but
that
he
kind
did
of
that,
stuff.
But he So he did a story about the U.S. Postal Service and how they were mistreating their employees. So he went on a whole thing about the working poor and exposing people that abuse the working poor. So he went undercover at the fucking post office for like a year.
As a postman?
In like the warehouses and stuff as a worker, and made no money, but like wrote this whole thing. Wrote this whole story and it got picked up. And
well, don't you remember?
It was amazing.
Back then, like, people coined the term, you're going postal. It was happening.
That was way different, though.
But remember, yeah. It was happening so often back then that they were abusing these people. People were losing their shit and going postal.
And they would come
postal.
In and fucking turn them into tombstones.
Yeah, specifically at the post office. They're
yeah,
doing it.
Going postal
and
was
now,
the thing.
You don't hear about it anymore.
Yeah, my dad
Maybe
solved it.
Maybe your dad made a fucking difference.
He solved that shit,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dude.
Get him over to fucking Iraq, motherfucker. Solve all of it.
So how much are you seeing him once your mom splits? Are you
so
50,
he became
50,
like my
you,
buddy.
Okay.
So like we would just like hang out and I would go and hang out with
and
him.
And he's close and, enough by that you can see
yeah,
him
he's
easily
like right there.
And stuff. Yeah.
So he moved into an apartment down the street. So, which was weird because it was like, you know, it's important for parents to continue to be a parental figure. Like these are two takeaways for me that I can share with people. When you're in a divorce, if you're, you know, make sure you don't. First thing is don't completely shit on the other parent, even though you fucking hate them. It was like my mom was just shitting on my dad so bad. And he had a lot of faults. He wasn't a great husband. You know what I mean? But I'm a teenager. I don't know about stuff like that. So she'd be like, he's a fucking loser, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that messed me up because then I was kind of like not respecting my dad as much. And then he got hip to that and was like, no, we're cool, man. It's like, you know, we were like friends, but then it wasn't a dad. And then I just lost. Like it went off the rails and started doing drugs like crazy. And it was, you know what I mean? So, and that was a big part of it. But back to my dad, he was fucking cool. And yeah, he just, you know, I realized as I got older, it was like, oh, he had more of an artistic inclination, you know what I mean? But he was in the mold back then of being like a dad and having a family and having a house and a corporate job. And he just didn't fit that mold.
Yeah, that was that generation of men back then was you get a job, you take a you get married, you raise a family, you take care of the family.
Yeah.
You die. You get a watch from the company you worked
at
for
30
fucking years.
You hang yourself with the tie you got on Father's Day. And you do it in front of the family. Hang it up. Yep. Walk down for Christmas. Uh-oh, what's that new ornament? It's dad. And it's fucking big. And we got to open him up now. Do an autopsy. I didn't plan on opening up a body. I wanted a fucking bike. The fuck, man? Anyway, I hope everybody had a good Christmas. One of my favorite jokes that one of my favorite bits that never did well, I'll maybe do it on a special at some point, but it was about, sorry to sidetrack it, but
please.
It was a bit about Christmas, and this is based on a true story. So I was obsessed with, you know, just fucking with people, especially in conversations and like at parties and stuff like that, social situations. Once I became like famous and a comedian, you can't get away with that anymore. But back when nobody knew who I was, it was great because you just fuck with people. So I still had a comedian mindset. So I was at a party and we were talking, all these people, and I didn't know them. And we were sharing Christmas stories. And I was like, oh, and the people were kind of annoying. And I go, oh, I don't like Christmas. And this woman goes, what do you mean? And I go, yeah, I just screw up. I had some bad Christmases, a really bad one. And she goes, what? What happened? And I go, well, I woke up Christmas morning. I was about 10 years old, maybe 9. And I go down to the tree, and I'm about to open presents. My dad's there, and my mom's not. And I go to my dad, and I go, hey, where's mom? And he goes, oh, she's not feeling well. And I'm like, okay. So I was about to open presents, and I look up in the top of the stairs, and my mom is standing there naked. And she's holding a present. And she goes to walk down the stairs, and she falls down the stairs and tumbles down. And the gift falls on the ground, and she goes, open it! And she's drunk. And so I went and I opened it and she had vomited into a box and wrapped it up as a gift. And the people I'm telling this at the party are like, are you fucking kidding me? And this girl, especially, she's like, oh my God. I go, wait. Then my mom stumbled and stood up, pulled a gun out of her vagina and fucking blew her head off. And everybody was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I go, yeah. And the girl was like, that's like the worst thing I've ever heard. Like, you must have like brain damage, like permanent. And I go, yeah, it was bad for a while. But then the year after, I got a bike. So it was like, cool.
Bike's awesome.
Yeah. And people were like, and then I just walked away. I was like, I'm just going to leave this.
Wow. So wait, based on what true story is that?
Oh, it's not based on anything. No, it's a true story that I told the story at a party. But no, that didn't happen. My mom didn't blow her gun off. Blow her head off with a vaginal gun.
Oh, shit.
But no, so yeah, my dad was.
Did he ever remarry or anything like that?
No, they both didn't.
Neither of them?
No, my mom's still alive. She's, yeah, no, it's not happening. But yeah, it was cool. And it was funny because my brother did the same thing. My brother, John Swartzen, is a singer-songwriter in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. And he went to college, got a business degree, got a job at a corporate job at a bank. And I was just like, fuck this. And he just became a singer-songwriter. And he does that and like bartends and picks
up
jobs.
You guys all have entertainment in your family.
Yeah, we kind of all did. Yeah. So that was cool. But yeah, then my dad died. And this is not funny, but it is funny because comedians are just dark. And my dad died and he was 69 years old. And I'm so immature that I couldn't say that he died at 69 because it made me think of 69. So people are like, oh my God, your dad died. How old was he? And I'm like, 68. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And I just felt so stupid that I'm that fucking immature that I can't just give an accurate date of when he died. You know what I mean? I had to say 68 because I didn't want to say 69.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he died on purpose. Fucking, yeah, and I was 69ing God or I don't know, whatever the fuck.
What was it sudden or did you know it was coming? Was this something that you was expecting?
No, this sucks too. So he died of a rare brain aneurysm. Really, really rare. I can't remember how it's pronounced. So I'm in the hospital with my brother and my dad's like basically in a coma. And the doctor's like, yeah, we're probably gonna have to pull the plug. You know, it's your obviously your choice. He's, you know, the doctor wasn't like, I'm gonna fucking pull it. I don't know when. I don't even know if I'm gonna tell you.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
No, he's like, you know, we're going to have to whatever. So I'm like, okay. And he goes, oh, just a, this is real. He goes, just kind of a side note, this brain aneurysm is possibly hereditary.
That's why I hate to say I was going to ask you.
Yeah, and I go,
great.
You know, you couldn't have said that. You know what I mean? Like, now I'm not trusting a hangover.
Yeah,
or anything. If I eat ice cream too fast or whatever the fuck happens. It's just like, So it's horrifying. But me and my brother were like, Jesus Christ.
How old were you when he passed?
I was 22.
Had you started comedy?
Oh, yeah. I started when I was 18.
Did he get to see you perform?
He got to, yeah. He got to see, like, kind of where it started to go, you know? So that was cool. But he didn't, like, get to meet Sandler. He didn't really get to see the films, really.
But he got to see more than open mics and things like that.
Yeah.
You just farting around.
You know, he knew I got the Aspen Comedy Festival. Okay, great. He knew, like, I was making moves.
Would he go see you at, like, Acme or any places like that?
Yeah, totally. Acme Comedy Company, my home club, Minneapolis. Very cool. It's a great club. But, yeah, and he – and this is a funny thing, too, is parents – you know, parents fight over their kids a lot, over whatever.
But when I started doing comedy, my mom was like, oh, no, you're still going to college, even though we didn't have money or grades or anything. And she was like, no, you're still going to college. I'm like, okay, whatever. And my dad's like, well, do whatever the fuck you want. And I was like, I want to do stand up. And he's like, yeah. And then he would come to my shows and he would meet comedians and he got really into it. And my mom was like, you're still going to college. And I'm like, okay. And then when I got discovered by HBO at 19 years old, and then I started making money, dude, got a commercial campaign. And then my mom was like, oh, no, you don't need college. And then was like,
Oh, really? She did.
And then she outlived my dad now. And so now she takes all the credit because he's dead. So he can't say anything. So I hope he haunts her.
So how did you find out your dad had the aneurysm? Was it someone call you him. Or he found him?
My brother found him like just kind of at zombie walking around his place. Yeah.
Oh, so he was up and moving around.
He was just a zombie, like not even like completely.
And he took him to the hospital?
Yeah. And no, he took him to Buffalo Wild Wings. Anyway, I'm sponsored by it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, he took him to the fucking hospital.
And then that's
when he took him to a Walking Dead audition. That's what he brought him into the room and was like, I've got a guy.
That'd be great.
You don't need to do anything. The Walking Dad.
When they take him to the hospital. That's my new show now,
The Walking Dad. It's dead fucking stroke dads.
This is when they find out that he's got the problem. Like, there was nothing leading up to that. That's what I'm asking you. Nothing. Just one day, boom, he's a zombie.
Yeah.
And then you take him to the hospital and like, this is what's going on. How much time do you have with him after that? Is this something that happened pretty quick?
No, this gets even worse. So he fucking, so then he comes out of it kind of. And he just has like damage. You know what I mean? He's got brain damage.
He's like slowed.
And yeah, he's slowed down. His memory's shoddy. And he lives in like a halfway house.
But can he walk and take care of himself?
Yeah,
things like that?
He barely. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, it was an assisted living. And, you know, he had his own apartment, but it was assisted living. And then it just went to south. It just went south.
And he stayed there, though.
He stayed there for a minute, and then he had to go to the hospital. He got another stroke, and then he had to go to the hospital again.
How long?
So this went over the span of, like, all in about 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
And you just watched him get worse.
Yeah.
And then also, I might have this in my head.
Yeah. Then I'm living with, this might make an appearance. And, you know, especially like, you know, being a drinker, I mean, I'm not as much as I used to be, but being a big drinker, it's like, you know, nobody could tell if I was having a stroke because I was fucking hammered. You know what I mean? Yeah. You couldn't tell. So I spent so much time at bars where people would be like, hey, Swartzen, I love you. Nick's being Nick. And then I would fucking die. But yeah, so
were you close with his parents? Like, do you know now, looking back, if either of them had died from this?
No. His mom had lived for a while. My grandma.
She outlived him.
Yeah, she lived to be like almost 90.
Now the grandma, this grandma, was this who you were closest with? Of your grandmoms?
I was close with my dad's mom, but I was really, really close with my mom's grandma.
That's grandma.
And that was the foundation of a lot of my early jokes about grandma lifting the milk,
Nicholas,
which is so funny.
I love it.
For people who don't know who I am or people who know me recently, one of my first Comedy Central specials, I believe it was 2000, I had some jokes about my grandma and about how I don't want to paraphrase my own material, but you can check it out at Comedy Central Half Hour. But it was about how – and it was based on a true thing where I was with her in the kitchen and there was a gallon of milk and she couldn't lift it. And I'm like, it's great hanging out with old people because you feel like a superhero. So my grandma would be like, I need help with this gallon of milk. And I'd be like, this gallon right here. And I would lift it over my head.
Nicholas.
And she'd be like, Nicholas. She like couldn't believe it. She wasn't Adam Sandler. I don't know why I did that.
Nicholas.
But yeah, she would be blown away. So yeah, she was one of my first jokes. And then my grandma, then it goes back to, they would fight over which grandma that joke was about.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so it was funny because my dad's mom would be like, ah, that's about me. And I would fucking hit her. Just right in the labia. No, but grandmas are great. I miss both of them very much.
Yeah.
And then that's how I got involved with the movie Grandma's Boy. So Adam Sandler was sitting in his bed with his wife watching Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. And that special came on with my grandma jokes. And he wrote my name down. He thought it was really funny because he likes family jokes.
This is how he discovered you then?
This
also?
Is how he, yeah. This
Not
is like
just that
on.
Bit hit you.
Yeah, that's what just me as me. And wrote my name down, went to the office and called me in. It was so weird. And then he's like, I have a script called Grandma's Boy. He goes, I love your grandma jokes. And we have the script. And he goes, I know you're a writer. I'd written the original script of Malibu's Most Wanted. So he was handing me Grandma's Boy. And then the rest is history in that world.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my dad did a really cool thing too, where he visited me in L.A. And I was sleeping on Barry Katz's couch. Remember Barry Katz?
Of course.
Barry,
I did his
Barry's
podcast.
Still around. He's
yeah, yeah, yeah. You sign up for something. You forget about it after the trial period ends. And then you're charged month after month after month. The subscriptions are there, but you're not using them. In fact, I just learned that 85% of people have at least one paid subscription going unused each month. Thanks to Rocket Money, I can see all my subscriptions in one place and cancel the ones I'm not using anymore. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you, sometimes by up to 20%. They automatically scan your bills to find opportunities to save. Then you can ask them to negotiate for you. They'll deal with customer service so you don't have to. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/honeydew today. That's rocketmoney.com/honeydew. rocketmoney.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
Hi, Barry.
Hi, Barry Kane.
What's going on?
That's great.
So I'm sleeping on Barry's couch at this apartment complex in Venice Beach. My dad comes and visits, and my dad was really weird. So he decided he wanted to sleep on the roof. So there was
of
like
the building?
Yeah. So there was like, it's only a 4-story building. And there was like a hammock or whatever. So my dad's sleeping, and then there was a big every Sunday in Venice there'd be a big gang war, and all these gangs would come out. It was fucking wild. All these gangs, and there would be like all altercations and all this stuff. And my dad was like, "What's going on there?" And I go, "Oh, it's Sundays in Venice." So I'm like, "It gets pretty wild, dude." And he goes, "Oh, I wanna look into it." And I'm like, "Yeah, I wouldn't." And he's like, "No." And so he did. This fucking older white guy from Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, walks in the middle of this whole thing, starts talking to guys. My dad was cool as shit, man. And he was just talking and getting different perspectives. And he wrote a whole article on it. And the LA Weekly put it on the cover.
No shit.
Gave it to the LA Weekly and they made it a cover story.
And he wasn't even writing out.
No.
That's just awesome.
Yeah. He just was so
you
like.
That save somewhere?
Yeah, totally.
Good.
And yeah, that's just like how cool and open-minded he was. And he was cool to me in the sense of. He taught me how to listen. He was like, he goes, you don't learn anything talking over people. He's like, any situation you're in, just listen. And I always did that. And it was, you know, I learned so much more just, you know, people think a comedian's going to be the center of attention. I don't want to be the fucking center of attention. If I'm around my friends, it can be weird, you know. But, you know, I get flack for that. I don't know if you do too. Comedians, like, it sucks when you're in a situation socially and you're quiet. And people are like, oh, thought you were funny.
I'm the same way. I'm a
God,
quiet
drives
observer.
You fucking nuts.
And then I take that into whatever I want to do.
Right.
Yeah. I can't. Also, like, and I don't mean any disrespect. Rest in peace, Robin Williams. But if I had someone with energy like that on all the time, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but he wasn't. I met him briefly. And that dude was shy as fuck.
Yeah?
Yeah. I met him at the Improv. And he was just kind of to himself.
Okay. So he wasn't always on. I mean, I imagine if maybe he knew you, he was.
But. Yeah. I mean, but that level of energy, you can't keep that.
Well, it's a great example then. You would think that guy.
Yeah. I was like, hey, man.
Oh, Robin Williams was a bore. He said two words the whole night.
Yeah. What a bore. No.
I'm the same way.
No, he was just chill. I just went, hey, what's up, man? And he just goes, hey, what's up, man? Like, he was just, and I was like, all right, cool. And then I grabbed him and I was like, no, I'm kidding. No, he was cool. The guy who was on that I met briefly. Well, there's two stories of Chris Farley.
Yeah. Okay.
The one time I met him was at the Aspen Comedy Festival and it was like 10 degrees out.
Is maybe, he on SNL at this time?
No, he was at the Aspen Comedy Festival for an SNL reunion.
Okay.
And I remember walking home, walking back to my hotel room after a show. And it was about midnight, Aspen, Colorado, February, fucking 10 degrees. That's being generous that it was that warm. It was cold as shit. And I just hear roaring and I see Farley doing cartwheels down the middle of the street, shirtless, with an entourage around him, chain smoking. And Aspen's 7,000-8,000 feet altitude.
Yeah, yeah.
This dude's 450 pounds doing cartwheels shirtless with a cigarette. I was like, whoa. And then that same festival, I met him at a party and I see him in the corner. It was the same thing, like kind of like Robin, where he was just kind of like to himself, all alone. And I you know, I was nobody. I didn't know anybody. And I just walk over and I go, hey, man, my brother went to Madison with you. I'm a Midwest kid. I'm a comic. I just want to say hi. And he was like, cool, man, cool. And he was like, and then just left. So I was like, oh. But he was, you know, it was really wild. It was like, so two real extremes, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, again, those guys at the end of the day are human beings, you know. It's like, you know, and that's kind of the downfall, I feel, of those guys is that you're the expectation of you to be on all
at
the
time. 100 also, too. Yeah, not just a conversation. Just like
having a couple zappers.
You got to be on,
You got to be full on.
So tell me about your grandmom you were closest to. You said they're both gone now.
She killed my dad. That's why I'm here. She murdered my family. All of a sudden it just turns weird. Mom's mom, what about her?
This is the one you were closest with, grandma?
Yeah, she was great.
And then you said they're both gone.
Well, my dad's they're both gone. Mm-hmm. My dad's mom, I've mentioned this on stage a couple of times. My dad's mom went and saw Grandma's Boy in the theater.
Oh, yeah?
So her nurse brought her in her wheelchair. It's a true story. And I heard about it. My mom goes, we have a situation. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, Grandma went to go see Grandma's Boy in the theater. And I was like, who fucking told her to do that? Like, how'd she even hear about it? She goes, she saw it in the newspaper. There was an ad and it said, you know, co-written by Nick Swardson. So my grandma's like, oh, Nicholas wrote a movie about me. She thought it was going to be a sweet story. So my nurse took her in her wheelchair and my grandma walked out of the movie. Walked out of the movie.
Rolled in and walked.
Yeah. So I've told this story. And yeah, pretty great. And then she wrote me a 3-page letter. A 3-page letter saying I was going to hell. So I've got that going for me.
That's fucking great, bro.
So,
do you know how long she made it before she was like, fuck this?
Yeah, I asked the nurse. I called the nurse and I go, at what point did she realize?
Yeah, what was it?
And it was when the guy started jerking off to the doll. Yeah.
Your grandma was like, I'm done.
My grandma went, deuces.
Wrote a movie about me. She said,
yeah. She's like, oh, no, that's not. I like that when Rob Schneider threw the bomb or anything.
That is so good, man.
Yeah, it's a true story. That's but wrote me a 3-page letter saying I'm going to hell. A detailed letter. And then I showed my dad and my mom, and they got mad at her and yelled at her. And then she wrote another one apologizing and.
Oh, that's too good, dude.
Yeah, it's real, dude.
That's too good. How did she pass away?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
She fucking put a doll in her pussy. She jerked off with a doll. She's like, fuck it. This is what he thinks of me. I'm going out in a fucking blazer.
Oh, God, dude.
No, she died.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she was old. She
and died. Your mom's mom also, like, lived to be an old age? Or
yeah, they both lived really old. Both grandfathers are dead.
What was it about your mom's mom that made you? Because we had the same thing. There was grandma, which is my mom's mom, but then right. There was grandma that was my dad's mom. That was really grandma. It was grandma and Grandma DeVito. You know what I mean? There was grandma like that. So well, what was it about her?
My dad's mom was out of town. Mm-hmm. I mean, she lived in Arkansas.
Oh, she didn't live there. Okay.
No. So
but your mom's mom was close?
She was close by.
I see.
So, yeah, my mom's mom was really sweet. She was cool. So I remember one of my favorite moments of her is at my sister's wedding. And I went through a white Russian phase where I was drinking white Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so into white Russians. And so I...
were you cream or milk?
I was malleable. I could go either way. Oh,
you didn't care. Okay.
Yeah.
Just a splash of something white.
The vodka was really important.
Yeah, I figured.
But yeah, cream or milk. But so I was making a white Russian at the condo at the wedding or whatever after the wedding. And I made it really stiff, you know, and I'm drinking it. And my grandma goes, what is that? And I go, it's white Russian. And she goes, oh, let me have a sip. I love those. And she took a sip. She goes like, oh, that's good. She goes, can you make me one? And I go, yeah. And so I made her one that was really light. You know, it was like that much vodka and like the rest, you know, whatever, Kahlua. And so I gave it to her and she takes a sip. She goes, what is this? And I go, it's a white Russian. She goes, no, no, make it like yours. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I felt like such a fucking idiot. It's like, yeah, she's went through World War II.
Seriously.
My grandfather got his leg shot off over Nazi Germany and fucking came home with one leg and a purple heart.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I'm sitting here diluting her fucking drink like a pussy asshole. God, fuck me.
Old lady,
I hope I get
place.
By a doll. Yeah, that was amazing,
God, dude.
She just the look on her face. I'll never forget. What is this? No,
no.
Yeah.
You have more stories up here on a list that I'm looking at over your shoulder. I'm just going to pick this one here. Just let's hear about this travel lodge story. Let's shift gears and go to that.
Oh yeah, so doing the road. Doing the road is just funny. This is a side story because it just happened. But, you know, I'm promoting this tour and I don't have a podcast. I don't have.
Why don't you?
I like doing these. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
But like, you know, I don't have a lot of Netflix specials or anything. So it's like I just all my stuff is on Instagram. So I'm just like promoting my Instagram. It's real Nick Swardson. And I just, you know, promoting my dates. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not fucking anything. So, you know, I got a show in Boston. I've done Boston forever. Like it's one of my favorite comedy towns. It's one of the best comedy towns. So I'm going like Boston, you know, whatever the date was in November. And then people were like, my friends from Boston were like, no, you're in Medford. And I go, oh yeah, but it's Boston. And they were like, yeah, but it's like right outside. And I go, well, how far? And they're like 10 minutes. And I go, okay, but it's Boston. Like that'll catch people's attention. So then I get to Boston early and I'm hanging out with my friends. And then like locals are coming up to me and they're like, hey, Swardson. Yeah, you know, you're in Medford, you know. And I go, oh yeah, I know. It's exciting. They're like, yeah, I saw on your Grammy said Boston. And I go, yeah. I'm like, yeah, but you're in Medford. And I go, yeah, but and they're like, nah, you're in Medford. I'm asking my Boston friends, like, yeah, I mean, technically you're in Medford. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, it's fucking right there. And they're like, yeah, but people like won't like sometimes they won't drive that far.
10 minutes.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, fucking really? And then I went back on my social media. But there were a handful of places like that where I would just put it under the umbrella where it was like kind of close.
Yeah, the major
like,
city.
Like Live Nation would give me the dates and they were like, here's Boston. Like Pittsburgh, I did Munhall. Like that's where they technically it was, but they were kind of cool about it. They were like, yeah, it's Pittsburgh, whatever. But
it's the Boston suburbs.
Yeah, but like, you know, it was so Boston. It was just like, yeah, but it's fucking Medford, pal. You fucking come here and you fucking throw that shit at us. We'll fuck you up, man. Where's your mother live?
Where's your mother live?
I was laughing with my friend Bob Marley. Who's a
yeah, I know. I remember
Bob's
Bob.
Great.
Yeah.
So funny. Bob lives in New England with his family. Great comic, but he's local. And I was telling him the story, and he was laughing so hard. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, like my Chicago play, I couldn't get the Chicago Theater, one of my favorites. And I did a casino right over the border in Gary, Indiana. And it was right over the border. And I kept promoting it as Chicago, and people are like, bro, it's not. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like 15, 20 minutes maybe without traffic. And it's they're like, yeah, no. I'm like, fuck. So I'm doing the Chicago Improv, which again is Schaumburg, but that's a date I picked up, so.
Schaumburg,
and I'll probably get shit for that if I promote it to Chicago.
You will. You will.
I know.
Tell me about the travel lodge.
You fucking do your best. Fuck. It's not easy, man. Damn it. Travelodge. So I would go to Vegas every year, me and my friend Matt. And that was our thing. We loved fireworks. I love fireworks. And so we liked serious fireworks. So we would drive to Vegas right before the 4th of July, and we would buy crazy fireworks in Pahrump, Nevada. And they had like a fucking Walmart of fireworks.
Really?
It was a store that was so massive. It was like Narnia for me. And it was buy one, get one free. So if you spent $100, you would get another $100 free in fireworks.
And these are like the shit you're seeing at the shows.
And this is like serious mortars and shit like that. So me and my buddy would spend $1,000 and we would get another $1,000 for free.
Jesus.
So we would
drive
to Vegas, buy our fireworks, fucking party our tits off, and then go back to LA. So one time we're driving there and I go, dude, why are we even? So I got like rooms for us at the Bellagio. And I go, dude, why are we doing this? Why don't we just, we're never in the room. No one's in the room in Vegas. You need a place to pass out. And I go, why am I spending fucking $900 a night at the Bellagio? The Travelodge is like $50-$60. And he's like, good idea. I'm like, we'll just share a room and then fucking go out and get to do our thing. So we drive from LA, which is not that far. It was like a 5-hour drive. And check into the Travelodge. I lay down. I'm like, I'm just going to like lay down for a minute. I was tired. My buddy goes in the bathroom, walks right out. And he goes, just grab your shit, man. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, just no more questions. Just grab your shit. Let's go. And I go, what are you? So we just drove here, dude. Like, what are you talking about? He goes, okay, go into the bathroom. And I go, what? Fine. And I go in the bathroom. There's diarrhea all over the wall. All over the wall. Like somebody just took a fucking water balloon of shit and just won a Cy Young Award against the wall. I mean, good Lord.
Oh, fuck.
And, you know, my buddy walked in and out, so it wasn't my friend. I mean, mm-hmm. He was right there. So, and I was like, oh, my God. And we got in the car. Went to the Bellagio. I got a room that was like $1,200.
Yeah, happily.
I was like, oh, yeah, okay, this is why. I thought I was beating the system. No, the system shit all over me.
Literally.
System's like, oh, I see what you're doing. See what you're doing, bro. Watch this shit.
Tell me about Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood was my last job. And I always stand by this. If I ever didn't do comedy, and there was a moment where I wanted to retire legitimately, I was just kind of exhausted. And I also, you know, it's hard to like, it's people who come to comedy shows. Thank you, by the way, for being fans of me and Ryan and other comedians and stuff like that. But it's hard once you set a bar of like, when you get a new hour, you need a new hour and you want it to be good. And it's just like, it's, you know, a lot of pressure. So there was a moment where I flirted with not doing comedy anymore. And I was going to go back to like in the service industry because I loved being in the service industry. I worked at Planet Hollywood. It was one of my favorite. It was my favorite job outside of comedy.
Was this in Minnesota?
It was at the Mall of America.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. There's a place for fun in your life.
I was just there. I did.
Mall of America.
I stayed there because I did a small theater in Minneapolis. I did.
The Varsity?
I did the Magic Bag in Detroit, and then I flew right to Minneapolis and did, no, I'm going to have to look it up. I can't remember now. Fuck. The Parkway?
Yeah.
Maybe that Parkway Theater? I got to look it up. I don't know. It was like a little 400-seat theater.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, what was funny? I still did very well, almost sold out, would have sold out, but they told me it was opening day deer season and they take that shit. Like, I had so many fans be like, love you, bro, but
right.
It's opening day rifle season, man.
Yeah, that's
we're going, that's a thing.
It
was a big deal, dude. It was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Tell me about plan. Let's talk about job.
So I worked at Planet Hollywood, but I would go back to the service industry because I just had so much fun. I'm still friends with a lot of the servers and staff there from back in those days. And, you know, it's almost like you're a stand-up. You know, I mean, the personalities of Planet Hollywood, some of the funniest people I've ever met were servers at Planet Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was a busboy there and I loved it. And then this is one story, but when I started stand-up, I was like, I didn't go to college, obviously, like I said. I didn't have any money or anything. So I was like, I'll try stand-up. And I sat at the Acme Comedy lobby at the comedy company, and I was going to do the open mic, and you get 3 minutes. And I had a little journal, and I wrote down, I'm about to do stand-up, and someday maybe I'll be on the wall at Planet Hollywood. And then cut to my movie Bucky Larson came out, where I was the star, and then the Planet Hollywood in Times Square, New York, immortalized my hands and my signature and my picture and everything. So that was really cool. That was a full circle kind of thing where, like, as a throwaway, I just wrote, yeah, maybe someday I'll be on the wall.
You just gave me a flashback. First of all, that's awesome. And second of all, I want to actually thank you, because one of the highlights of my career, and I've been lucky to have a few, was a table read for Bucky Larson.
Yeah, that's right.
I was part of your table read.
Yeah, that's right.
And at the table read, it was Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
It was Leguizamo there? John Leguizamo? I feel like he was at least at the table.
I don't think John was there.
Or Turturro.
It was Turturro. Nick Turturro.
Nick Turturro was there. But there was somebody else that was a legend that was there too that didn't end up being in it either. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. And it was so much fucking fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
To watch these people, like Kurt Russell, pissing himself at this stuff.
Yeah.
But also inspiring to see a guy like Kurt Russell, who doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's Kurt fucking Russell. You got the part. You don't need to be. I mean, he's still there for something he doesn't end up getting or doing anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever the conflict was. Who ended up becoming him?
Don Johnson.
Oh, it was Don Johnson.
Who was okay. Phenomenal.
Yeah, he was incredible. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great.
That was so much
table
fun.
Table reads,
dude,
are so weird too, because you're essentially
the most comfortable. Because yeah, you've got all the
Sandler's
people sitting
there
around. I mean, everyone. Yeah.
It was Sandler's idea then.
Incredible.
But,
incredible.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure though. Table reads.
So jobs before, you said you got fired from all of them. Were you just fucking around, or you just?
I just didn't take anything seriously.
Nothing.
So, Planet Hollywood, you had like a 3-strike system.
But you liked this job. You
I
did
loved
like that.
It. Okay. So like, and then there was a comedy club in the Mall of America. So like, when mm-hmm. I started, when
House
I was working,
of comedy.
At, yeah, no.
Oh, it was,
it was called
one?
Knuckleheads.
Okay.
Back in the day, this is 1995.
Same upstairs,
yeah. But not the same venue.
Got it.
But so I would do Planet Hollywood, and then I would go at night or after my shift, and I would do the open mic at Knuckleheads.
Oh, that's how you got started?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did start at Acme, and then I would – Knuckleheads was the first one to actually hire me mm-hmm. as an MC. But yeah, so Planet Hollywood, and then I got fired. So they would have a 3-strike system. So if you fucked up, you know, if your uniform was wrong, if this – you know, but 3 strikes and you're out, obviously. And there was a point where one of the head waiters was talking to the GM, and he's like, hey, what the fuck? And the GM's like, what? And he goes, look at Swartzen. Look at his uniform. It's filthy. Look at his shoes. He looks like a homeless person. And he goes, how many fucking strikes does this dude get? And he goes, he's like on like 10. And I think somebody goes, no, it's like 12. And the GM goes, yeah, but Nick's fucking hilarious. And he's like, whatever. He's like all fucking pissed off. But like, I should have. And then finally they had to like let me. They were like, Jesus Christ.
We just can't keep doing it for you.
Yeah. I took the fucking Knight Rider car off the wall and drove it through the restaurant. I killed like 200 people.
It was pretty bad. I had a lot of people dying, but it was fine. It was Knight Rider car, you know what I'm saying? I wore Schwarzenegger's car. Terminator outfit. I put all this shit on from the fucking wall.
Did you ever put shit on? Did you ever get stuff that was coming in yet?
Fucking, no.
Before they put it up, though, you know, you see it coming in or anything, you're like, oh, that's Gene Simmons' fucking bat wings, you know, fly Gene around.
Gene Simmons' Batman audition. Went horribly wrong.
What was your first job?
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I was fucking horrible at every job. My first job was a paper route.
Bicycle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I just was like lazy and my dad would drive me. And I'd like run, jump out of the car. So lame. But yeah, I was bad. I'd throw the paper all over the place and... like houses would trap squirrels and raccoons and animals to keep them away, and I would let them out and shit.
So oh, my, you would.
Animals, yeah.
You so, run around and let them.
Yeah, out. Totally. I was just fired. I was just fired all the time.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I was like a little Robin Hood, just saving all the poor animals. Yeah. I was, yeah.
What was it about that you liked about the service industry? You think if you weren't a comedian, you'd have stayed in something like that?
I would say if I wasn't or be a teacher.
Really?
Yeah, because like you got an audience, not a tarred teacher.
I see what you mean.
Where like I'm not going to teach fucking calculus or some shit. Like third grade's pretty solid. Yeah, I think I could handle that. Look like a genius.
You would be a great elementary school teacher. It'd be you really fun would. As shit, man. You would.
That would be cool. But I almost quit. I remember, God, was this? It was pre-COVID, and my buddy Alan is a bar owner in LA, and he owned a bar in Hawaii on Maui. And he was like, "I opened a bar, and I got a house, sick house. You know, I know you come to Hawaii a lot. You know, if you ever are there, you can crash with me." And I go, "Can I work at the bar?" And he goes, "What do you mean?" And I, this is what, around when I turned 40. I'm 48 right now, and he goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "Can you get me a job as a bartender?" I go, "I would love to do that. That sounds like a blast." And he goes, yeah, sure. And I go, okay, cool. So I called my fucking agent and my manager and I go, hey, I think I'm done. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, well, I mean, I did it. You know, I had my own TV show. I was on hit TV shows. I've done movies. I've done everything. I've got platinum albums. I mean, fucking great. It's great. What a fun ride. And I go, I'm out. I'm going to go be a bartender in Maui. And my manager goes, no, no, no. That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. And I go, what do you mean? It sounds amazing. He goes, yeah, when you're 60 or 60, you retire and be a bartender. You're fucking 40. And I think I told Sandler that. And Sandler was like, no. Everyone's like, what are you talking about? And other comedians were like, what? But whatever. So long story short, I called my buddy back. And I was like, yeah, it turns out, oh, yeah, I can't. And he was like, yeah, even I was like, that'd be really cool to have Nick Swartzen be my bartender. That would be great press. But he's like, yeah, I don't want you to quit just as a fan. He's like, so that was funny. That was my the closest I came to stepping away from business. But yeah, I mean, I would love to be a bartender. I
think, you will do that when you get older?
I think it'd be great. I would love to open up my own bar, like a really good...
You think you could Sam Malone it and be totally, like stay on the totally straight and narrow while you're in there, though? I mean, he was always drinking, what, seltzer water or soda water?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because he was a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, like, I haven't drank right now.
I mean, it'll be 4 months. I haven't had a drink in four
Nothing.
Months. Yeah.
That's fucking great.
I quit smoking cigarettes well over a year ago.
All I do now is smoke weed. Like, I'm not trying to, I don't say it like I'm better than anybody else. I haven't drank in 2 years. I haven't had a drop of alcohol in January 1st will be 2 years. And I've smoked a small forest, but I don't miss the after effects of what drinking would do to me.
Yeah.
You know, the hangovers are just, especially as you get older, you can't bounce back from that shit like you did in your 20s. It'll fuck you up for a couple days.
Yeah.
I'd be slow for a minute. Like, I could really feel it.
You know? And mentally, it's just, you're just off. Mm-hmm. And it, like, right now, like, this tour's been amazing. I've got my special that I released over the summer is called Make Joke from Face on YouTube. So that's on YouTube, and it's also on Amazon. And then this is a whole new hour, Toilet Head, NickSwartzen.net. I've got the Midwest coming up and then East Coast, D.C. and New York.
Is addiction something that, like, runs in your family? You talk about being a genetic brain aneurysm, but I know that people have the gene for that. Is that something your parents or grandparents?
Yeah, both my grandfathers were big drinkers.
Oh, granddads were?
Yeah, but, like, I have a weird thing
where... But your mom and dad weren't in the house or anything like that?
No. They were never...
Smokers? Were they smokers?
My dad was.
Yeah, in the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he smoked in the house and in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like being older. It's like growing up in the 70s and 80s. There was no fucking rules. Nobody gave a shit. Like, when I look on Instagram and, like, kids getting hurt, like, that's an account on Instagram.
Oh,
and
it is.
It was just
kids
like, that was just constant when I was growing up.
Yes.
It was, like, all the time.
Yes.
And then comments. The same thing with, like, animals when, like, you know, cats do something fucking weird and they're filmed, you know, trying to jump across and, like, eat shit. And people are like, oh, my God, this is not funny. And it's like, they're animals and kids, you know what I mean? I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, why are you filming this when they're clearly about to get hurt? But sometimes it's just like, that's what happens. And that's like what growing up was like, holy fuck. I don't know how we got to that from, oh yeah, my dad smoking. But no, like me with drinking is I just really loved it. You know what I mean? I just had a blast. I mean, people can attest to that have met me on the road. I mean, I really like love drinking.
Do you know how many people I know that would come up to me and be like, this is years ago, back when you were drinking, be like, I was in Barney's Beanery this week. I'm like, you see Nick Swartz? And like, yes, I was about to tell you. I'm like, that was his spot forever.
I drank there forever. Drank there all the time. Day drinking, all the time.
You were always there for football.
Always there for football.
Was that your spot to go watch the Vikings?
Yeah, because they have multiple TVs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Were you walking distance?
Yeah, I was like 2 blocks away for living there. And then, but they had the package. You could watch any game. Dude, the guys would come in from like France and be like, do you have the France Belgium game? And they'd be like, oh, yeah. And they put it on a TV. Like they had everything. It was great. I mean, it's still there. But yeah, I really, like drinking was just so fun. It was great, man. I mean, I like going on a good bender because I would never do drugs. I've done drugs, but I wasn't one of those people that would get in fights or get weird.
Arrested.
Yeah. Or like
drinking, driving. And
yeah, no, like all that stuff's terrible. Mm-hmm. I would just drink and like have fun.
What?
Man, I can like hang out at bars. That's the weird thing. I think that was my point. It's like I still hang out at bars all the time. Like I can hang out at bars and all night for, you know, not drink at all. Not even think about it. Not even want to. Like, and that's weird. That's a really rare thing for drinkers because, you know, there's people that I've met that like can't even walk past a bar or see a beer bottle or an empty glass of wine without getting like panicky.
I'm lucky. I'm a guy that could drink half a beer or walk away from it. I've had plenty of people on this show that say, no, if I start drinking, I will drink 20 of them.
Right.
It's not a 2-3 thing for me because I can't. I have a problem and I'm going as far as I can go. I get that.
I totally get that. I mean, I've been there where it's like, if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink. You know what I mean?
I want to wrap this up because we got to get you out of here.
Okay.
But we didn't get to talk about
something.
What did
I do? What did I do wrong?
I want to talk about what they did for you at Planet Hollywood. We didn't talk about the full circle.
What do you mean?
Didn't you get your hands?
Yeah, I thought I mentioned that.
Did you?
Yeah, Bucky Larson. When I did Bucky Larson in New York.
I think I interrupted you and told you about my moment.
That's on you. I'm out. No way.
My moment of your table read. So wait, even if you did, say it again.
Okay.
I think I interrupted you.
So I was at Acme Comedy Company, my home club, in the lobby, and I wrote, someday, hopefully I'll be on the wall of Planet Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Then when Bucky Larson came out, it was my starring movie with Sony that me and Sandler wrote, and then Planet Hollywood in Times Square in New York immortalized my hands in cement and my signature and my picture on the wall.
Yeah, I think I stole your thunder. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's fucking great, though. Is it still there?
I don't think Planet Hollywood's still there. I think that's why they did it. They're like, this shit's about to get torn down.
We know.
Let's immortalize. What, you Rob Schneider's kindergarten teacher? Yeah, we'll put your hands on the fucking cement. Carrot Top's mailman? Yeah, go for it. Sign the wall.
This was great, dude. I love you. Thank you so much.
I love you. Thank you very much.
Right there again, promote your special, your Instagram, your tour.
Real Nick Swartzen on Instagram, nickswartzen.net for tour dates. Make Joke from Face on YouTube now. But whole new hour, Toilet Head.
There it is. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.